Amen. What an honor tonight, every one of you that are here. Amen. Tomorrow night, we're looks like we're going to be baptizing two in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me give you the story. Andrew received the Holy Ghost in jail this year. We baptized Andrew in Jesus' name. His mother, dad, sisters, and his brother's been slipping in our services. And the other day, when teaching about baptism in Jesus' name and about the Holy Ghost, the sister and the brother told their parents they wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name. The young boy, Jeremiah, told his parents, he said, "While I was visiting my brother in the jail, I saw a marker board, a whiteboard, and on it had scriptures and an illustration of repentance, baptism, and receive the Holy Ghost." And this was his words. He said, "And Brother Crosswhite taught today," and he said, "I want that." He said, "What I seen in the jail on that board." He didn't know I was the one that put it on that board and drew it. You got to be born again to the water and the spirit. So tomorrow night, amen, and everything works fine, we're going to be baptizing Natalie and Jeremiah in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We want you to be a part of that. Amen. We want to give God liberty tonight to feel and fulfill every soul in this place. Amen. How many wants to leave with something tonight? Amen. Deep dwelling inside of your spirit. Amen. What an honor tonight to have, amen, every one of our ministers here. Amen. We look forward to what God's going to do tonight. Amen. We're going to ask Brother Craig Long from somewhere in Tennessee. Amen. Really, amen, raised right here. Amen. We're so honored to have his grandmother with us tonight, Sister McLean. Amen. His parents with us tonight, Brother and Sister Long. Amen. But we're so thankful to have your God with us tonight. Amen. I want him to come. He's not a stranger to this pulpit. I want him to come and deliver what God has given.
Our hands to the Lord. I know we've already been doing that. Oh, don't get any better than this, folks. Oh, the presence of the Lord that's in this house right now. Oh, just lifting up his name, it makes him so welcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In my home church, where I'm from, Pasadena, there's an old, amen, Holy Ghost filled ex-hippie. You'd catch him in the old sanctuary prayer room. There were big bench seats with cushions on them. Went in there at odd hours of the night, middle of the day sometimes. He'd have a pillow over in the corner, laying on his back, talking in tongues. And every now and then he'd manage to get some words out, a little phrase that was coming to mind again tonight. "I want you to be comfortable with me, Jesus." What does that mean? To an old hippie, that was just his way of expressing, "Lord, I want you to feel so welcome in my life, in my mind, in my heart." Hallelujah. I believe the Lord is feeling welcome here tonight. And I want him to keep feeling welcome. I want him to get a little closer than he is right now. Hallelujah. Oh, his presence is here. Hallelujah. He's settled into our midst. Oh, but I'm hungry for him to settle a little further into our hearts tonight. A little bit further into my life tonight. Hallelujah. I'm convinced there's some things he can rearrange tonight if I let him. Hallelujah. And when God's doing the rearranging, it's going to end up better than the way you came. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God, praise God. Well, just say these things we need to say, but they are heartfelt. It is so good to have. have my mom and dad with me here tonight. And the last minute, able to make it. Dad worked hard all day and were able to get here just in time. And it means so much. Thank God for my heritage. And my grandmother, give honor to her, Sister McLean. And not far from here is incredible man of God, buried Wayne McLean. And I don't believe in worshiping the dead, but I do believe in looking back at the example that was left for us. And I give honor to her and to Brother Wayne McLean. Very so grateful for the legacy they've left us. Amen. And then to Brother Crosswhite, Brother Martinez, Brother Metlin, these men of God and other ministering friends that are here tonight, especially these men of God that have worked, sacrificed, all the churches that have worked to put this together. The Holy Ghost has bearing witness to God's favor on this. Amen. And what a wonderful witness it is. I give honor to all of them. Look forward to hearing the word of God tomorrow night. Brother Putman, and first time to meet him. Love his spirit already, and I can't wait to hear him preach. And all that being said about legacy and heritage, what a message we heard last night, Brother Wainwright. I told these men after we fellowshiped a while after church that I knew that we were here, we were supposed to be helping some young people, but I felt like I got preached to myself last night. Hallelujah. There's some things, amen, I want to pick up. I don't want to leave. Amen. I want to leave it in the dust. I don't want to leave it in the ground. I don't want to leave any of it. Not one little scrap of a corner of that man. Hallelujah. And I know you're standing. The reality of this thing is, I'm really convinced of this, that God did not intend, it was never his will that it would, the church or the word of God, the power of God, the anointing of God, lose its power. But in fact, it was the plan of God from the very beginning that his word would continually increase in its power and in its revelation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In other words, we can't afford to lose what the last generation passed to us. We've got to build on it. Hallelujah. Oh, and it's one, hallelujah. God's already ready to do it here tonight. He wants to take us even higher. He wants to keep taking us higher. Hallelujah. He wants his word to keep becoming greater. That revelation of truth, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to try to get to the word of God here in a minute, but that revelation of truth, amen. Some would say, well, they just don't preach like they used to, and amen, things have changed a lot, and certainly they have, but God knows exactly what kind of preachers are needed in every generation and every part of the country and the world. God doesn't do things by accident. Hallelujah. He doesn't do things by accident. And so the reality is God's word cannot decrease or lose its power. Amen. Hallelujah. Our little presentation, our little methods, and our little modes every now and then, they go through changes. And I'm not talking about compromising doctrine. Hallelujah. But the word of God that keeps going forth is going to keep gaining and increasing in power and authority and dominion. Hallelujah. What am I really trying to say tonight? This same old-fashioned message that we heard talked about last night is just as relevant tonight and to this generation as it's ever been. It can still break chains. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh my, we're overwhelmed by the presence of God early this morning. It started and off and on through the day, and so now we're just going to try to take one step at a time until the Lord takes over tonight. That is what I anticipate, not because I'm trying to escape preaching, but I felt it so strong, so tangibly in the room this morning that he's really ready to just take over tonight. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost is ready to take over tonight. We're going to the Word of God, but I want to remind everybody in this room that there is no one man, there is no one woman that's ever walked in shoe leather except Jesus Christ that ever contained the fullness of who God was and is in themselves. It was just Jesus. And I understand tonight we need a preacher. You got to have a preacher in your life to be saved. We might talk about that here in a little bit some more. But what we also have to be reminded of tonight that is that in this room, this feeble vessel standing in a pulpit is not Jesus. And in reality, there is as much Jesus in those pews as there is behind this desk tonight. And it may be that God's given me a few words to speak as his messenger and as his servant. But let me just remind you tonight in this audience that you've got a role to play in this house. And if the glory of God's going to be revealed, and if the power of God's going to be unleashed, it cannot hinge on one man. It cannot hinge on one voice. It cannot hinge on one or two hands, but it's going to take the body of Christ coming together and letting his power be revealed in us. Hallelujah. 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 So with that in mind, look at your neighbor tonight and tell him, you better let Jesus show through you tonight. Hallelujah. I'm telling some of you tonight, I'm trying to get to a text, but I'm just telling some of you, there's something fixing to get on some of you in this crowd tonight that you ain't going to know what to do with, and you're going to have more of it than you know what to do with, and you're going to have to give it to somebody else. Come on. Amen. Isn't that what Jesus said? You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Yes. Oh, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. So, when it comes on you tonight, just let it loose. Just follow the Holy Ghost. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. We'll take a text. Let you be seated. Chapter 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. Young people, why you got your Bible still in your hand, pick your feet up and put them down just a little. Just to remind you, you're standing on this whole world. World passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. The world passeth away, the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. You can be seated tonight, and I challenge you again. We have already been praying. I'm just going to move forward tonight. I want to challenge you again. Don't sit down on the Holy Ghost. And I really do believe the Lord wants to do a special thing in our midst tonight, and it involves all of us. Amen. The world passes away, lust thereof. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The beginning of this text that we have read tonight is obviously a strong reminder to us of what we are to avoid if we are going to be saved. Amen. That we are not to love the world, and we are not to love the things that are in the world. And there is so much to be said of verse 16 about lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. John said these things are not of the Father, but they are of the world. And so we know this is a clear reminder to us that we are to be careful to avoid certain things. For most of you tonight, it is familiar that in the garden, this is the very root of the first sin that overtook Eve in the garden as she listened to the seducing lies of a serpent. Amen. The Bible tells us that she listened to his lies and she saw the fruit and she saw that it was good for food. And she saw that it was good to make one wise. And these, amen, three parts of the root of all sin, John is saying, go all the way back to the very first sin in the garden. Yes. These are warnings to us. Amen. If you are a guest here tonight and you do not know this wonderful, beautiful truth and have never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want to tell you tonight that this promise, this gift is unto you, the Holy Ghost. You can receive it tonight. But if you want to receive this gift, you're going to have to hearken to what the Word of God said. You're going to have to recognize that there's some things in you, in your nature, that are different than the will of God. But to us as the church, we know these are reminders to us that we've got to watch out for the devil. We've got to be aware of what the devil sounds like. We've got to take notice that the devil doesn't necessarily always have the voice of a lion. The Bible says he does, amen, roam about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he might roar at you to intimidate you from time to time, but he also knows how to whisper to you and to deceive you. And John is giving us this reminder. You need to take note of these things, because what begins to run through your mind, if it is lining up with these three things, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, you need to know that it is not of God, but it is of the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're slow out of the gate, and I'm not bothered by silence, and I appreciate your attentiveness tonight, and I appreciate your patience with the pace. Amen tonight. The devil knows how to talk to you. The devil knows how to talk to you and when to talk to you. The devil knows how to talk to you and when to talk to you and what to say to you. Hallelujah. And he is a master strategist. He does not come against the strong as one that is strong, but he comes against the strong as one that is weak. Amen. And he does not come against the weak as one that is weak many times, but he comes as one that seems strong. The devil knows how to talk to you. We heard it ministered about last night. There's a lot of things that are going on in the world that are very obviously the work of the devil. There is every kind of sexual perversion. That is clearly from the Word of God. And tonight, if you are a guest here, let me just say it this way. I believe that even if you have never heard the Word of God, there are some things going on in the world that are literally vile even to a fallen human nature, because they are so contrary to the ways of God. Amen. And this is not where we're going to stay too long tonight, I don't believe, but we all understand this is one of the most obvious things that is wrong tonight with homosexuality and lesbianism. Amen. And tonight, if that is your persuasion, please hear me very carefully. Amen. I'm not here to fight with you. I'm not here to pick at a bone with you as a man, a woman. But I want to remind you of something. Amen. That it's very clear to see that that kind of lifestyle is not able to reproduce. And so there is a law written in the very nature of God's creation that says in the beginning He created a man and a woman, and He told them, be fruitful and multiply. Friend, if sexual perversion, if homosexuality is valid, then let time be the verdict. But let me go ahead and clue you in. Man will never develop a method of science. Man will never become clever enough and figure out a way to reproduce other humanities. Amen. To where they can sustain God's created world. Hallelujah. If you let this thing play out, maybe it's for you tonight. Maybe the devil's been lying to a young person and telling you that you need to believe that kind of lie. But if you walk down that road, you need to understand when you die, that's the end of your story. When you die, that'll be the closing of the door of your name in the earth. But what God wanted to happen is that when you or when I pass away, there would be something left about us in another generation. Hallelujah. Oh, we're not even talking about the Holy Ghost. I'm just talking about good old-fashioned, practical, common sense, friend. Who are you going to leave your house to? Who are you going to give your car to? Who are you going to... Oh, come on, friend. We can leave the Bible out of it for a few minutes. I'm telling you, there's no way to argue what God has made. Hallelujah. These are things in the Word of God. Amen. You can be seated that are so clearly contrary to the Word of God. Things going on in the world. And as pastors and evangelists, preachers, ministers tonight, all of us understand that part of our calling, part of our commissioning with Jesus Christ, amen, is that we are to sound the alarm, amen, as a watchman on the wall at times, that the enemy is coming in. And tonight, it would almost not be right if in a youth meeting I didn't take just a moment to reinforce what I know and understand, believe tonight, that the majority of you young people are hearing your pastors preach to you about and talk to you about on a regular basis. And one of the ways that the enemy is working against this generation is undeniably through the use of technology. Amen. Your smart tablet, your phone, your whatever it is, amen, that's in your living room, or that's in your closet, or that's on your desk, or that's in your pocket, or that's in your car, or that's in the headrest of your car, amen, wherever it may be, amen, you and I, amen, especially you in this generation, you need to understand that there's some things that are contained in that connectivity to the world wide web that is full of the things of the world, amen. I'm not here tonight
to preach against a tool. I'll leave that to your man of God. Amen. But I'm here tonight to reinforce and strengthen the hands of some men of God and let you know that there's some things that you can gain access to there that are not of God. And while you are still in a stage of mental development and emotional development and psychological development, there's a man of God that sees some things of the world that you're not going to be able to handle. And so thank God for a preacher that'll say, "Mama, Daddy, you better get that phone and you better figure out how to operate it."
You can be seated. Preacher's got to preach about it. But I've got to believe it. Hallelujah. Let me preach to some mamas and daddies. And in this generation, let me preach to some grandparents. Because I know we're all seeing this, that there's grandparents, a lot of grandparents that are raising their grandbabies. And that's another subject. We're not going to get into that right now. But just understand, grandma, grandpa, my Lord. Well, we did just hit something, didn't we? Hear me right now. You need to pay attention that if you are the only spiritual authority in the life of that child, you don't need to worry. Hello? I'm going to tiptoe through this and try to get back. Amen. But you don't need to spend all your time worrying about what your role is and that my parenting days are over. Hear me, grandma, grandpa. If you've got a voice that's given room to speak into the life of that grandchild, if you've got some sway over what goes on in their life, not everybody does. You can't argue with flesh. But if they're being raised up in your house, guess what, grandma, grandpa, it's your rules. When they're in your house, it's your rules. Hey, give me the device. This is how we're going to do it. Be seated. I want to be gentle when I say it. Because I've never been a grandpa before. As wonderful as being a daddy is, I can only imagine. As much as I love for that beautiful girl of mine that's growing up way too fast to come up and say, "Daddy, I love you," and give me a big hug. And as much as it melts my heart for that little boy of mine to come running up and squeeze me, I can't imagine what it's like to be grandpa. What a time. Yeah, Brother Martinez said it's wonderful. I don't want to take away from that wonderful side of who you are in that child's life. But let me encourage you. Let me strengthen your hands tonight. Amen. That your walk with God, though you may be a little older now, and you may not be as up to date and up to speed on the latest trends and fads, you do still have a walk with God, and there is some sensitivity in you, and God can talk to you, and you don't need to be ashamed. Oh yeah, to sit that grandbaby down for a few minutes and say, "Now look here, we're going to have to talk about how this thing works." Hallelujah. Praise God. But if I want to hear a man of God preach to me about that, I've got to believe that as a man of God of my home. You, Daddy, have got to believe that as the parent of your children. You, Mama, even if you're the only one living for God in your house, you've got to hear a preacher say, "You need to be careful what's going on that device, and you need to take action on that preaching." Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. Google will work for you like it works for your kids. And if you're going to, my God, am I okay? I'm going to stand right here so he can pull on my tail. Coattail. Huh? Hello? Hear me, Daddy. Hear me, Grandpa. You are proud as you can be. You couldn't wait to watch that little 5-year-old, 8-year-old boy pull the trigger on his first .22 revolver. And some of you men around East Texas woods, I've been around here enough to know that you like your firearms, and I like them too. And, oh my, we're going to have church now. Hallelujah. Boy, they about all ran the house. You can't wait for that little grandson of yours to hold it in his hand and you stand there, but you're not going to put it in his hand until you look him eye to eye and say, now listen to me, son. This is where the bullets are, and this is where the trigger is, and you don't have a point. Hello? I'm not here to preach gun safety, but you are educated on it before you put it in their hands. Oh, come on. And you're going to say, well, I just don't understand, and I just don't get it, and I don't know what to do about it. Then pray and ask somebody that can help you and say, we got to get a handle on this thing. But let me go ahead and just remove another excuse from somebody's mind tonight. God never intended for his church to remain in the dark ages. I understand. Listen to me carefully. I understand tonight that we don't always have to be on the cutting edge. I understand tonight that we don't always need to adopt the latest and greatest thing. But I do also understand that there is a fresh generation coming up, and they're going to learn some things and be able to do some things that I've never known how to do, and I've got to be man enough and woman enough. Hello? To say, all right, I see danger in this, but I'm going to pray about this. We're going to pray about this together. My God, have mercy. I feel revivals in homes right now over this little subject. I said, I feel revivals in households over this little subject. Daddy, I'm here to encourage you tonight, not call you a coward. But hear me, what the devil wants to do is back you in a corner over what you're not familiar with. And I understand it's overwhelming sometimes because we see our kids being pulled so many ways. Amen. But what you need to do is get down on the floor and weep over there so long enough to sit down and look them in the eye with love in your heart and say, all right, we're going to talk about this, and then we're going to pray about this, and we're going to come up with a way that we can use this. Amen. But we're going to be saved, and we're going to get to heaven, and we're going to have a good time all the way. Hallelujah. I'm already to the end of the message, but I'm not finished yet. Hallelujah. I'm tired of the devil convincing this generation or a previous generation that living for God is a hard, dreary, difficult thing. This message is not old. This message is not backwards. This Holy Ghost has not lost its power. The Word of God has not lost its authority. We have got to walk in that authority of the Word of God. Now I submit to these men, okay? Whatever your pastor says overrides what I'm saying right now, okay? I want to say this carefully. And I was just, the Lord was taking me back through the Word of God just the other day, reminding me that there's only one church in eternity. But in the earth, there are churches. And thank God for that. The Bible says the apostles went about everywhere establishing churches. So God put a shepherd over you, and that's the church you're supposed to be in, and that's the voice you're supposed to listen to. And don't look at what the neighbor across the road's doing, or what somebody in the next town's doing, or when they're having revival, decide, I want to go listen to that because it looks better than where I am. Oh, just stay where God put you. Hallelujah. Amen. So you listen to your man of God about this.
But I want to use this just to be bold enough to get this to stick in somebody's mind. If you're called as a man of God, you're a young man with a call on your life. You're somebody in our generation. Maybe you're not called to preach, but you are called to teach Bible studies and to evangelize. Hallelujah. What I'm telling you is if you want to use your Bible, that's just kind of what I prefer. I don't like to get too dependent on this because it might stop working one day. But listen to me. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, amen, and you're using your phone to pull scriptures and jot down thoughts that you need to share with somebody, friend, get your phone in your hand and get to saying what God told you to say. And then put it down and let the Holy Ghost have its way. Friend, it's not a crutch if the Holy Ghost is on you and in you. Well, praise God. Amen. Well, I'm going to get on back to this because I might have just gave the pastors 5 weeks worth of teaching to cover now. You hear what I'm saying? This Holy Ghost is powerful enough. Doesn't matter what tool we've used. Moses used a stone tablet. And then there was papyrus. And now we got paper. I'm trying to get off of it. I'm not here to say what you ought to preach, what you ought to teach. But what I'm saying is don't, amen, take away the power of God. Don't say that God can't because. Let God be God. Hallelujah. Amen. You're going to have to educate yourself. Sit down with them. Find somebody that can talk to you. Talk to your pastor. Find a book you can read. They make those books. They're called Books for Dummies. And I like those books. Pick it up. You don't have to know all of it, but it'll teach you enough. Honey, you can lock it down. Hallelujah. Well, but there's some things on those devices you've got to be aware of. You've got to pay attention. And so thank God for a pastor that's a man enough and man of God enough to stand in a pulpit and say, hey, we need to watch out for this. Hallelujah. Thank God for a prophetic voice that doesn't just look at the statistics, that doesn't just look at the evidence of all the psychological studies, but a prophetic voice of a preacher speaking into your life has been in prayer and he's seeing things down the road that you can't see yet. But God's letting him know there's the lust of the world's in that, the pride of life's in that, the lust of the flesh is in that. John's saying you got to be aware of these things. Verse 17, reminding us. Why? Well, it's sin. Well, yeah. And you're going to go to hell if you sin. Well, yeah. But if you just don't obey the Word of God, basically, theologically, through the Word of God, what is taught is that if you don't obey the Word of God, when you die, it's over. There's nothing else about you that matters. John said, the world passeth away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Hallelujah. And so there's some things we need to avoid. Oh, help me tonight, Holy Ghost. There's some things we need to look out for. There's some things we've got to pay attention to. Mom and Daddy, there's some things that we've got to hear the voice of a preacher in our lives talking about things sometimes that we don't yet understand, but we've got to go back to just obeying and listening. Let me get this right. We got to go back to believing in the voice of the preacher in our life. We've got to go back to believing that when he stands in that pulpit, he's not out to prove his own agenda. He's not out on an ego trip. He's not there on a power trip. He's peering into the future through the Holy Ghost, prophetically declaring, these are things we need to pay attention to.
I thank God. I thank God somebody told me no sometimes and wasn't able to explain all of the reasons why. Let me preach to the young and I'll get back to the old in just a minute. But young people, hear me. We've got to go back to developing some trust in the man of God. Are there reasons why we live the way we live? Absolutely. Is there a reason why holiness is beautiful and holiness matters? Yes. Hallelujah. But there's going to be some things you're only going to understand in time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What did the Bible say? When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. There's some things about the Word of God you're not going to be able to fully grasp until you have developed in a place in your walk with God and in your life that then it begins to register. Hallelujah. And so you and I, amen, as a younger generation, have got to remember we are always to listen to that anointed God-sent voice in our life that sometimes will preach things that doesn't agree with our flesh, and we cannot add it all up in our minds, but we got to go back to understanding He's not looking out for what makes me comfortable in this world. He's wanting to make sure that I leave this whole world behind. Woo! Friend, that's where I'm planning to go. You can have everything this world's got, but I've got my eyes on something better. In that little 5-minute conversation, as much as it thrilled you to hear that boy say what he said to you, as much as it thrilled you that he would ask for that kind of photograph. Huh? It's going to burn up. That conversation's going to vanish. Whatever it is, the love note he wrote you, it's going to burn up one day. And those little emotions are going to be fleeting emotions. And you're going to be living with him. And he's going to have his same 6-pack of alcohol stuck in the back of the refrigerator that he had when he started messaging you to begin with. Because he's not going to change right now. And he's not going to change for a long time. Because what's seducing you is not the Word of God in him. It's the lust of the world and the things that are going to pass away. Preacher, why are you talking about these things? You need to understand that there's some things in the world that are going to agree with your flesh. But thank God there's a preacher that'll stand and say, you got to leave the world behind. You got to flee fornication. You got to flee immorality. Thank God. For every football and baseball coach in your high school, they watch how fast you run around the track and come up and say, hey, son, you going to play this year? Every time he watches you in the weight room just horsing around with the boys, he comes up and says, hey, I think we got a spot for you. And I'm just picking on some of these men. But thank God for every one of those coaches in the high school. There's a man of God that's going to stand up every now and then and say, son, you need to get out of competitive sports. Am I okay, pastors, Brother Martinez? Brother Metla, am I okay? I'm looking for the host pastors. Thank you. Thank God for every one of those coaches in your high school that's a voice of influence in your life, that's speaking things that are real. I'm picking on some of you, I know. My. I'm not teasing either. I don't want to arm wrestle some of these guys. I'm just telling you the truth. And I'm not about to ask one of them to get in a foot race. Not even 20 years ago. Speedy Gonzalez and the Incredible Hulk all in one. It's there in their flesh, the potential, the ability. And the world says, look what you can be. Look what you can have. Look at the attention, the affection that can be brought to you. But thank God, there's a voice of an anointed preacher that's looking down the road.
And he knows the stories. And he sat in his office and sat across the desk and counseled that boy whose, amen, teenage daughter is overdosed on drugs because daddy was busy in the minor leagues playing weekend softball and didn't have time to bring his children to church. God have mercy. We are in the Holy Ghost tonight. Hear me tonight. I'm not here to condemn somebody. I'm not here tonight to try to put somebody in hell. But I do pray that before this night is ended, that you can feel a little bit of the flame, enough that will convict you to help you understand there's a better way to live. There's a better way road to walk. There's a better way to walk. You don't see it. You don't see that multimillionaire with all of his endorsements. They're not publishing how much he's paying every week in child support. And they're not talking about all of those sons and daughters he has that ain't ever one time he sat down and told them he loved them. They're not, you're saying every athlete that's ever run on the field is an evil person. No, I'm not here. But listen to me. You need to be thanking God for a pastor that's seen too much to sit by and leave it alone and say, well, just go ahead. Do what you want to. You'll be good at it. My God, have mercy. Some of you young men, I wish I could climb on this pulpit right now if it would make you convinced enough. Because somebody in this house tonight, you got your eyes already on a preacher across town that you already know. He brags on you every time he sees you. He talks about how talented you are, how good looking you are, what you could really be. Oh, come on, you got friends in other youth groups that are telling you what a good time they're having being used in their sport. Oh, come on, and their preacher says it's okay. And they're saying, come on, come on, it ain't going to hurt you. Come on, that preacher don't see what I see in you. That old pastor, he's kind of old-fashioned, and he don't quite understand what you could be. My God, I'm in the Holy Ghost right now. I'm not just throwing to see what sticks against the wall. I'm in the Holy Ghost right now. That's what he's told you. Come on, you know what you could be? Come on. Come on, I can help you. I've got some counselors that can guide you through the process. And we'll just get you good and established. And then you can just go on and be. Huh? And he just wants to pad his pocketbook and build himself a big retirement home. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. That bank account's going to burn up. Come on. That moment in the spotlight, it's going to pass away. But he that obeys the word of God, he's going to keep walking like Abraham walked. He's going to keep walking faithful, even when he doesn't understand. And I'm supposed to say this. Brother preacher, that remind you that God knew where you were supposed to be when he called you. He knew where you'd be when the call of God came to your life. Oh, Jesus, help me. I want to say it with love, but hear me carefully. Don't you get on the crazy ego trip of believing that you're the next Apostle Paul and you don't have to have a connection to an anointed voice of God in your life. Huh? There were only 12 apostles. Paul, if you would say it that way, would have been the 13th because he said, I was an apostle called by Jesus Christ. There's a special place for those apostles. We know that there are still gifts of apostles to the church now. Amen. The Apostle Paul said they were. But understand something about this calling of God that comes to a man of God. That it has to always be connected to the voice of prophecy, the anointed voice of God from one generation to the next generation, all the way back to Jesus Christ. Amen. In other words, where your calling and anointing came from was a pastor, because God sent a man to you to declare to you what thus saith the Lord. And because you heard the word and faith mixed with the word, God, the call of God then came to you. Are you with me? Are you with me? If you're not with me, just play like you are for a few minutes, and God will bring this back to your mind when you need it. Don't you believe that old ego trip the devil wants to put you on. That if we could just get with the program a little better, I could be used a little more around the church. Hear me, young men, hear me. I see it so beautifully around here. Every time I come around these churches, I see it so beautifully. Young men being raised up, and they have such a submission, a spirit of attitude of humility toward their pastors. Don't lose it, friend. Don't lose that, young men. I don't care if it looks like they're having worldwide revival and all kinds of things are happening. Amen. What did John say? There's more to do in the will of God than just avoiding sin. Doing the will of God involves hearing the voice of God. And the voice of God in your life comes through your man of God. Oh, hallelujah. There's got to be a preacher that's got his hand on your life, that's got his voice in your life. That's who you need to stay connected to. I don't see it. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. Come on, Pastor. Come on. I feel it. I don't feel it, son. My, 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 my. Friend, that's how I believe this. Now, I, if you want to be a quick success and build you a mega church, you go ahead and do it. But I'm just talking about what John was talking about. If you want to abide forever. If you want, after you die, your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids and saints that you preach the gospel to, they'll still be living for God. That's what I'm talking about. And the only way that happens is you got to do this in obedience to the word of God and submission to the will of God. You need a man of God in your life. Hallelujah. If God sent a revival to the church across town and they're preaching the truth, rejoice in it. And if your pastor says it's a good time, go help them for a while, but come back, then go help them and come back. Well, my God, I don't know what I'm in the middle of, Brother Crosswhite. My God, I'm telling you what I see in this meeting, in this room, is there some pastors here that are strong men of God. And they are strong in faith and confident in who they are and what they believe. And you know what that creates the opportunity for? Revival in this region. Come on. You know what that's going to mean? We can learn to work together as churches. That not everything Brother Crosswhite says is exactly going to sound like what Brother Martinez says, and it's not going to sound exactly like what Brother Metlin says, but they're preaching the same doctrinal truth. Come on, and there's some men that are confident in the message God sent them to believe, and God's wanting to raise up some saints in some churches that know who their man of God is and say, Pastor, when you say go, I'll go. But when you say come on back, woo! Hallelujah. I love it, I love it, I love it. I've heard of Brother Crosswhite doing it. Some of you other men have probably already done it. Some of you saints getting together on an off night and going across town in vans and in buses and go dancing into a sanctuary in proper order and get victory for somebody else in a little home missions church that's fighting all hell. Amen. Get some victory for somebody else and then come back and rejoice in the victory God's going to give to you. Hallelujah. Talking about he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Be seated. Some of these things I'm already touching on. What I'm really after tonight, one of my assignments is, I'm after a spirit of fear, a spirit of torment, a spirit of condemnation and confusion that comes from the stories of our pasts, that comes from all the church splits in the region. It comes from all the backsliding in my family tree. That comes from all the times I've tried to live for God and I've failed. I'm here tonight to address, amen, not a devil that's getting stronger, but I'm here to address a spirit of fear that is speaking more loudly than it's ever been. But friend, tonight I want to tell you that there's still a voice that speaks from heaven that is stronger than any voice of fear. Voice of God from heaven is stronger than any voice of confusion. My God, I feel this. This is a youth crusade. I don't know why I'm in the middle of this, but I feel this strong. Men, brethren, I say it to you humbly, pastors, God will give you the vision, but there's something happening regional right here. And these men of God have already got a hold of something that there's a lot of places that hadn't got a hold of yet. I know the last time we saw some of this start happening and the dust cleared, this family went this way and that man went that way and this whole church went this way. And it blew up in a mess. Friend, I don't care what history says. I want to know what the Word of God said. And it's still the will of God for there to be revival, not just in one building, not just on one property, not just in one building and facility, not just under one church name, not just under one organizational title, not just under one preacher, but men of God that'll link arms in faith and say, I know it didn't work right, but that was just because somebody got too much in the flesh. But if it'll stay in the Spirit, if it'll get in the Holy Ghost, woo! It's going to be revival till Jesus comes. Revival till Jesus comes. Revival till Jesus comes. Oh, I know somebody else might not want it, but I want it. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 1 says, Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. That messes with me. He's a preacher. And he said, when I'm with you, I'm meek, gentle. When I speak, you have a heart that's open to hear what I'm saying. But then your heart gets hardened when I step away and you get careless and prayerless and put your Bible down. And so I have to come back and be bold. Come on, saint of God, don't wear your preacher out every Sunday morning. Don't wear your preacher out every midweek service trying to preach to you strong enough so you'll be convinced to come pray early for before the next service. Come on, let him just walk to the pulpit and let the Word of God begin to roll out of his mouth. And let there be a hunger and an openness in your spirit that'll say, I'm ready. Hallelujah. Verse number 2, Paul said, But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, there's a lot of preacher people that think your preacher, is just trying to build his own little kingdom. And your preacher is just trying to control you. And your preacher is just out to get you. But Paul said, I know that's what they're saying about me, but I'm not in the flesh, I'm in the Spirit. Verse number 3, he said, For though we walk in the flesh, I'm a man, we're not warring after the flesh. I'm not standing in a pulpit screaming at you because I'm angry. The foolishness of preaching is preaching under the power of the Holy Ghost. And in the Spirit, there is a conquering of things that can take place. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a high mark, friend. Casting down every imagination. I told you, I'm after a spirit of fear tonight. I'm after a spirit of depression and torment tonight that knows how to attack you when you're weak and alone, that knows how to attack you when anxiety's already starting to come on you because you're tired and wore out. And it'll help if a man of God will come lay his hand on your head and help pray you through sometimes, but that's not what Apostle Paul was talking about. I'm not warring in the flesh, he said. He said, you. Point at yourself right now and say, me. He said, you need to understand, you're not to walk after the flesh either, but after the Spirit. And you need to know what's an imagination and what's not. Be gentle for a minute. Let me talk to some young ladies for a minute who know how to put enough fantasy literature in your hands, that old devil does, to try to paint a picture in your mind of what it's going to be like when that perfect boy comes driving, riding into your world. He wants to put enough images in your head on your neighbor's television. He wants to show you enough video clips in your best friend's hand as you're on break at the high school so that you can get ingrained in your mind what it's like when that boy just sweeps you off your feet and whispers those romantic words into your ear. He wants you to have an imagination. Come on, look what you can have. Look what this is. Look how beautiful it is. Come on, can I talk to a seasoned saint for just a minute? Huh? He wants to put enough images on your phone that are not even ungodly, but they are so Hollywood-like. And how perfectly orchestrated they are, that it's getting in your mind the false idea that what I have in my home, listen to me, mama, this is what's getting on your girl. What I have in my home is not good enough. The furniture that used to be nice enough is not nice enough. I need my husband to work a little harder. We need to get a nicer car to drive. Because the devil knows how to get you in a realm of imagination. Where you begin to believe, what is an imagination? You begin to believe that something is real that is really not. It is an image, but it is simply a facade. I just got to walk where I'm supposed to walk, okay? I can't clarify all of this. But hear me. You have to be careful what you're feeding into your mind. You got to be careful what kind of voice you're listening to and what it does to your imagination. Young man, understand? Oh, come on. You know better. You know better what your eyes are looking at. You can make your brain justify it and say, well, it's not pornography. That's not the question. Oh, hello, devil. Hello, devil. Hello, devil. I said the world doesn't classify it as pornography. Man's rating system says it's okay for a child. But friend, what the world says is okay is not what the Holy Ghost says it's okay. God. Huh? If the devil can get you to put the image in your mind, just one, that imagination, you're going to wrestle with it for the rest of your life. You hear me? I want the fear of God to get in somebody. You hear me? You're going to fight it the rest of your life. It's going to print an image in your mind. And you're going to fight it and fight it and fight it. Don't put it in your mind. Don't let the devil tell you. Just a few clicks. I didn't ask if it was X-rated. I asked what it does to your mind. Does it make you lust? Then leave it alone. Where does it put your thoughts? What does it do to your ego? My God. Come on, I'm talking about things that fuel your imagination. Amen. But he said, you got to cast down every imagination. And this mind is going to be brought to a place of obedience. Christ, the same way that Jesus Christ walked. That's how he wants you to walk and you to walk. What did Jesus say? I do nothing except what my Father says. Jesus said, what I see of my Father and what he does, that's what I do. What he speaks, that's what I speak. Huh? The obedience of Christ. I thought you were talking to preachers. I thought you were talking to young people. I preach to the saints about obedience to the will of God. Obedience to the will of God. I told you, I'm after a spirit of fear. And there's some things about the will of God that's written here. It's very clear. You got to read it. If you want to know the will of God, you got to start in the Bible. It's written. There's some things about the will of God that are very clear. But we got to go back to remembering what God wanted for you. Young lady, it was not for you just to memorize your Bible front to back. But it was for you, as you're reading your Bible, that you not only read the Word of God, but you hear. You hear the Word of God. Brother Crossway, I don't know how to do this in a youth meeting. Because I know we can get caught up in arguing about spiritual maturity and if we're ready enough for strong meat. But this came on me so strong today, I've never quite heard it this way. I've heard an elder just recently, Bishop Tipton, he may have said it here before, but he said, you got to learn to read your Bible till it reads you. If you get in that word, young lady. Open your Bible. I know you don't understand it all. It doesn't all make sense right now. But open your Bible and you read it until something stirs in your heart. But the way this came to me today, was you read it until you hear it. You know what John said in the book of Revelation? He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he started seeing things, visions. And he said, there's more to this scripture. But he said, and then I heard a voice behind me. Listen to me carefully right now. You're going to have to get this in the Holy Ghost. You can't get this with your mind. I'm convinced he's talking about partly the spiritual nature that's in all of us. Well, is that geographical? Is it? He heard the voice behind him. I don't know how God talks to you. I don't know what it's going to sound like. I believe there's moments you'll be in the floor drunk in the Holy Ghost. I believe in your walk with God, there will be moments where his power moves into a service and you're slain in the Spirit. And a preacher walks up to you and ministers a prophetic word directly into your life. What I'm really trying to preach about tonight is what is going to make sure that every one of us gets to heaven. It's an absolute guarantee. Is that you and I learn to hear the voice of God again. And if this is just a bad explanation, forgive me tonight. I can't get all into theologically, but I'm in the right vein and I'm on the right principle. I'm convinced that one of the revelations that's in that verse of that voice behind him was where the voice of God tends to talk to you. What are you saying? I don't get it. In other words, today I was sitting at that table in that wonderful quiet place I was staying, reading my Bible, trying to get my mind to understand. All of a sudden, I started hearing scriptures I wasn't reading. And all of a sudden, I started hearing people talking that wasn't in the room. I hope I ain't getting too far out there. It wasn't with this ear. I didn't see him with these eyes. There was a voice. Did I see an angel? No. If it's just one young person, if it's just one saint that gets this, What did he tell Moses in the mountain? Moses is praying, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. I want to see it. I'm hungry for it. And he says, all right, Moses, come get alone. Get alone, Moses. Get alone in the mountain. Come on, Moses. You want the glory? Come on. Let's have a youth crusade. Listen, this is the way God orchestrates it sometimes. And the mountain's shaking. Amen. And there's a cloud there. And there's a fire there. Oh, God, I want to see your glory. They're shouting. They're rolling on the floor. They're dancing. They're drunk. They're slain in the spirit. Both Moses and Elijah wasn't in those things. He was proving his power and manifesting who he was. But his voice was in the still small voice. If I'm taking it out of context, God forgive me. But it's that voice behind you saying, this is the way. This is it. This is where you're supposed to be. Yeah, it's a still small voice as your pastor's preaching on a quiet Sunday morning, and it's been a long week at work and the kids are going crazy, but there's something on the inside, mama, daddy, that's saying, this is right. It's for me. This is where I belong. This is what I needed to hear. Devil, you're a liar. That was an imagination telling me to leave the church. That was a devil telling me it's time for me to quit. That boy whispering those sweet nothings in my ear. It was nothing but an imagination. It was a fleeting emotion. It was a facade. I see it now. And if I could stand in this pulpit tonight, turn cartwheels and swing from the rafters, drop down right in front of you, put my hand on your head and pray at the top of my lungs in the name of Jesus Christ, I can't make you hear the still small voice. Oh, pastor, preacher, I don't understand all this. That's for those. No, you don't have to be super spiritual. I understand everybody hears it a different way. God speaks to people in different ways. But hear me, God absolutely wants you to have a personal walk with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where he's taking us. When forever, all we're going to do is we're going to worship, and we're going to be with him, and we're going to walk with him, and we're going to talk with him. And we're going to fellowship. Stand with me tonight. I can't go no further. He wants you to fellowship with him. He wants you to commune with him. He wants, while your preacher's preaching to you on Sunday, for it to be a confirmation of what you've been reading in your Bible all week long. He wants when your pastor gets in the pulpit Sunday night Amen. For God to already be prompting you, it's about time to run the aisles and rejoice, because God's given victory to his people. Come on. Let's get ahead of the devil. It's time to get ahead. Come on, let's love the Lord for a moment right now. Come on. Thank you, musicians, for coming. Just wait, just carefully. Come on, let's just love the Lord right now. Come on, let's love the Lord. I'm telling you, there's a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost that's about to sweep into this room. I'm going to step out of the way. But hear me. Weeping, is it in order tonight? Yes. Can travail move in here? Yes. I'm not going to define what all the Holy Ghost can do and can't do. But I want to tell you what the Lord absolutely desires to do before we leave here tonight. He wants you as a young person, as a saint of God, or maybe as a young man or young lady with the call of God on your life, to leave this service with an absolute confidence and faith that I am in the will of God and I am going to heaven, and it is a beautiful life, and I would not rather have anything in the world more than I would have the will of God being done in every part of my life. I want to read to you this scripture. I realize we didn't preach a message tonight. Hebrews chapter 4 says there is something we do need to be afraid of. John said, you be careful about what the devil will do to you. But the writer of Hebrews said there's something else you need to be more even afraid of. It is not the devil. You need to be afraid. Hebrews 4 and 1. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come, seem to come short of it. He said, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word that was preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Verse number 6, he said, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. I'm amazed the way the Holy Ghost works. Brother Wainwright took his text last night and started talking about what the Lord had laid on his heart. And I was saying, oh, wow. This word remaineth in Hebrews 4 and 6. One definition. Amen. I'm certainly no Greek scholar, but that one definition in the Greek says that word means to leave or leave behind, to desert or forsake. He's saying that God intended to give a people something, but because they got caught up in the world and because they got afraid of the devil, oh my Lord, I don't have time to preach all this. It's time for the Holy Ghost to move, but I'm just trying to hurry and get there. They didn't get the promise because they said the giants are too big. And then they finally got to the promised land, but they wanted to do what the world was doing. On one hand, it's the world and its seductions, and on the other hand, it's Satan and his intimidations. And because of it, they left something behind. I don't want to twist it too much. Huh?
there remaineth a rest, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day. He was pointing to a certain time, saying, and David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I know I've got you standing. I've promised to close. But you hear me tonight. If you want a breakthrough, if we want to see revival in this region, you know it's going to take more than your pastor. There's going to have to be a breaking down of the hearts of some saints of God in this room that don't only have a tenacity, but have a tenderness for the word of God, a tenderness for the ways of God, a love for the Spirit of God. I want to tell you tonight, it's real. Every time you fall into sin and you come back to God and you pray through, it's going to get that much harder for you to get back to God if you fall again. Every time you ignore the preached word, it gets harder and harder to hear it and receive it. Don't stop there. Don't deny it again. Don't ignore it again. While it's available, get it. While you can get the Holy Ghost, receive it. If you're in the house of God tonight and you even feel a drop of the Spirit of God moving on you, it's for you. It's for you. It's for you. Don't resist it. In the next few minutes, don't resist it. Don't limit it. Don't look at who's praying and say they can't get it. You, it's your rest. Point at yourself and say, it's my rest. Point at your neighbor and say, it's your rest. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? And there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Verse number 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fail after the same example of unbelief. As the musicians begin to play, hear me tonight very carefully. You're on one side of the coin or the other tonight. You're in the world where the world is being very enticing to you. Maybe it's success tonight. Maybe it's how much money's in your bank account right now. Maybe it's how many things you've managed to accomplish. God set his approval and blessing on favor on your life. But you're in a world where you're starting to believe that it holds the greatest meaning of your life. But I want to remind a saint of God tonight, you can be blessed to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. You've got to remember there is nothing more beautiful, powerful, and precious than the rest of the Holy Ghost. It'll take you through the highs. It'll take you through the lows. It'll take you through the ups. It'll bring you through the downs. And on the other side of the coin, somebody's here tonight, and the devil keeps lying to you. The devil's got a pastor in a corner of fear. Afraid to let go and start trusting God. He's got a saint of God that's afraid. He's intimidating you. He's lying to you. He's telling you, remember what happened there? Come on, the devil's talking to a backslider tonight. Remember what happened last time? Come on, I'm opening these altars right now. I'm opening these altars. Hear me tonight. Hear me. Holy Ghost is ready to do a sovereign work. Take time to pray. Take time to cry out to God. But understand that there needs to be an openness of your heart tonight. Come on, if you don't get anything else out of this, come on, don't focus. Come on, the atmosphere is beautiful. The music is beautiful. But that's not the focus right now.
Come on, it's got to be you and God. It's got to be you and the taste of God's goodness. It's got to be you and the love for God. It's got to be you and the beauty and the joy of living for the Lord. Come on, young man. Before you get out of this altar tonight, God wants you to get up and say, what in the world was I thinking? There's nothing else better than this beautiful message and power of God. Come on, young lady. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I know there's been a quick shift in the service. Come on, but if we let the Holy Ghost take us and break us down for a few minutes, come on, He can take us back up where He wants to take us. Come on, young lady, do you understand? God wants you to leave this service tonight knowing that boy doesn't have anything to give me. That book, that fantasy world, it's so shallow. This is what I want. This is what I want. I'm looking for a rest. I'm looking for a rest. I'm looking for the Holy Ghost. Come on, men of God, pastors, evangelists, help us in the Holy Ghost.